This is Advanced Ability Center, tape number 17. The title of this lecture is Free Zone Field and Tech Evolution.
And be really foolish. Here comes 15 foolish people going to sit in Tontero. This is... seems so somber when I do this. They're sitting on the rug now. It's going to... Yes. There's no amazing guest speakers today. There's just myself being glib, and then David's going to give a talk. God. Okay, here comes a lot of volume and intention. This week's graduates at the Advanced Ability Center have been Jorge Guerrero, Advanced Ability 2. Jorge. Aquí. Tony Downsborough completed Advanced Ability 5. Yay! Lisa Rourke completed Ability 1. Karen Moeller completed Clear and went back to Phoenix. Tom Chopperman, Clear. Hey. Bruce Ford, Advanced Ability 5, Drug Rundown. Gail Ingebrigtsen, Advanced Ability 4. Charles Vollum, Cause Booster. What does the church call that rundown? L10. I've heard of it. Dan Wilson completed Life Orientation and Ability Straight Wire. Christina Sutter completed Advanced Ability 6 and Advanced Ability 4 CS course and then promptly flew back to Switzerland. That's it for last week's graduates. Hey. Oh, I was watching this thing on television yesterday at dinner time. It was 3 hours by Herbalife, which is a nutritive product. And they had this amazing thing where they, it's a pyramid scale sales scheme, which has been a real phenomenon in America, Herbalife. They have something like 12 million members making billions of dollars. And I was watching what they do in their presentation. It consists of really extraordinary acknowledgement. I mean, like, someone in this audience would stand up and say last week they just sold, you know, $22,000 worth of Herbalife products. And they had literally an 82-piece orchestra which would strike up this chorus of acknowledgement. Everyone would stand up and applaud for like 5 minutes and sit down. And then someone else would announce in San Diego they just sold, you know, $84 worth of products and the same thing. And it went on for 3 hours of acknowledgements. And then I remembered at our weekly Sunday barbecue, people complete these extraordinarily wonderful things, and I just sort of stand up here and we go. You know, like, took some billions of years to do this, and it always seems unfair that the acknowledgments should be as slim as they are, so maybe next week it'll be an 82-piece orchestra. We were going to have a baseball game after the day's activities. And we'll leave it open. If people want to come up to me and want to play baseball, there's a nearby park and we do have the equipment. The grass will be real interesting to play on. So if there are a group, enough people that would like to play, we will do it. Please let me know after David's talk if you feel like it, if we have enough people together for a couple of teams, okay? Thanks for coming, and now it's time to welcome David.
I thought I'd comment today on some of the changes that have been going on in the field lately. It's a progressing or evolving thing that we're involved in, And from time to time there are changes in people's attitudes generally. So I thought I'd comment on some of them. A few months ago, approximately, there was a sort of a phase that went on where people were sort of getting into fads of various kinds, having felt free from too much control and authoritarianism. A lot of people started getting into the frame of mind that they could try anything, and I'm talking about technical actions now, that there was what I called an anything goes attitude prevailed for a while. And during that period, we at the AAC were making a very strong point that it was necessary to keep technical standards high and not to change things around and do weird things and so on. And it was popular with a lot of people, and it was quite unpopular with a lot of people. In fact, there were probably about as many viewpoints on it as there were different people. And at the time, we figured that it was probably a passing phase. And there were people who were handing out confidential materials to one and all, regardless of their case level and so on. And at the time, we were decrying that. Not that it made any difference to what people did, or those people did, but it's changed over the last week or so, I've noticed, and I'm very pleased to notice that, in that people are becoming quite a lot more conscious of the necessity for quality along with the tech. And here again, it's of interest that it's not due to enforcement or threats about what would happen to people if they did stray from the straight and narrow, but more it's now coming about as a result of people having seen the results and being able to evaluate what happens if you do and what happens if you don't, which I think is a far healthier way to go about it. In fact, I'd go so far as to predict that probably the most major reason for departures from standard tech or actual squirreling or non-standard renditions of the tech was probably more caused by the authoritarian dictate that you mustn't do that, which tended to engender in some people an impulse to try it. And I think that may have been one of the contributing factors to alterations of the tech and poor quality over the years. It certainly didn't ever keep people in line or prevent people from trying things out. But partly as a result of a large number of people in various places deciding that they would try various things out, including an example I heard recently of somebody who was on life repair, and another person decided to try running them on knots, and that didn't work out at all well, and required quite a lot of repair and cleaning up of the person's case afterwards. And the person himself told me that just recently that earlier on, when I had made some statements regarding the necessity to keep the quality of tech up and for people to get properly trained and learn to do it correctly, he'd actually been quite a bitter opponent of mine and gone around saying that it was, I think he'd gone so far as to say it was comparing me to other organizations which exist. And so on. And anyway, he called me up just recently to tell me that he's changed after having experienced the results of incorrectly applied tech. He's become quite an advocate now for doing it correctly from the start. And I think that's very hopeful about the future, because from my point of view, it shows that people have been going through some kind of a phase that was somewhat faddish about trying things out. And I hope that that's flattened or is flattening off quickly, and then we can get back onto continuing to do it right and training people to be able to do it right from the start. Because the results do depend on doing it correctly, applying the tech correctly. Now, one of the things I mentioned earlier was threats. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been told that there were very, very dire consequences involved in any slightest alteration of the tech. And that's actually very rarely, if ever, true. In my experience, that's a sort of invented boogeyman or bogeyman intended to scare people. And there are a lot of people that would try something out and find out that there weren't any, horrendous repercussions, like they didn't instantly and immediately disappear into oblivion or become a cinder, as we were being told a few months ago. And so they figured that, you know, like it's okay, they can try and do anything. But that's not really the point. It's not so much a matter of dire consequences that would happen to a person. It's the fact that if you don't do it right, you don't get the appropriate result. You don't get the gains that are possible from it, which is dangerous to the degree that somebody could try something and, not having had it correctly, he could decide that it doesn't work or it doesn't work very well and lose interest in it, give up on it. But it doesn't really matter whether it's auditing technology or whether it's carpentry. If you don't do it right, you don't end up with the right product. And I wouldn't spend a tremendous amount of time, you know, telling somebody who wanted to build a house that he should learn how to do it. But after he's, done a little sawing and hammering, and if the house didn't stand up too well, then obviously he would become encouraged to do it right or get somebody who did know how to do it. It's not that we're trying to discourage people or frighten them, it's just that I feel that there's so much more of a positive nature that should be stressed about the fact that the results are very high if the tech's correctly applied. And so it's the positive side of it that I think should be stressed. People can go and try various processes out, and I'd never discourage that, especially various introductory processes. And they'll obviously get some result. And then, having done that, they should come and get trained and learn how to do more processes and do them, apply them better, and they'll get better results. And that's actually a gradient that goes on and on improving. And it's not just a matter of doing a course and learning how to do it, but as one goes on and gets more experience, one becomes more and more proficient. A tremendous amount of the success of some of the well-established and long-time auditors is because of the years of experience that they have. Same applies to case supervisors. It's partly the level of training, and it's also partly the amount of experience. And after several years of training and experience, you have somebody that can produce some very, very good results. So that's what I'm advocating, and I thought it was worthy of comment that it seems that majority of people, not just in Los Angeles, but across the world, have been writing in and calling in and telling us that they're coming up with those kind of ideas, and I think that's very pleasing. It shows that there's tremendous hope in the future for the independent field or for the free field, because it's resulting in a desire on the part of individual practitioners to increase their competence and training level. So I think for the first time we're going to get high quality tech going on, not because it's being enforced or because people are being threatened with unreal consequences if they don't do it that way, but because people want to do it so that they can get better results. And it's certainly showing up in the number of applications that we're getting from various parts of the world, from auditors and CSs that want to come here and get trained and so on. As was mentioned earlier, we just had the senior CS go back to Switzerland. Christina Suda from the Advanced Ability Center in Switzerland, and there's going to be a lot of very high quality delivery going on there because she did very, very well in the training here, and we're very pleased about that. And other people have been graduating and going back to other places like Miami and so on, Vancouver, Tucson, and over the next few weeks people will be graduating going back to other places in America and overseas. So the future looks very hopeful along those lines. But it's very interesting that what is bringing about this change is not coercion or threats or force. It's the innate desire on the part of individuals to do things correctly, to do things better than they could do them before, and to help people and get good results. So I guess it all comes back basically to the basic tenets, like man is basically good, and given the opportunity, he will better and improve conditions and so on. So anyway, I thought I'd comment on that because I certainly am very pleased to see that going on. And as I say, from my point of view, it makes the future look even brighter than it looked before. So thank you very much. If anyone has any individual questions, any of the staff, including myself, will be glad to handle them. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, David. Thank you, this week's graduates. Anyone else have anything else they'd like to say? Okay, bye-bye. Thanks a lot. You missed your chance.